56 of Beyond Retro. I'm Joe Amato. I don't even know what I'm saying. I couldn't barely say Beyond Retro. But I'm here with Nathan Kennedy and Tyler Baker. My God, talk about being off. I sit there talking earlier. I was fine. Start talking now and
you got to thinking about all that free candy that you're going to go out and get.
I am so bummed that I missed that conversation of Joe being even cheap at Halloween, where he just is going to try and get as much free candy bars, full-size candy bars.
Oh, Jesus.
God. But it also didn't shock me at all when Nathan told me that. I'm like,
of course. He's like, of course, Joe. That's what I figured. I was like, I could picture if Tyler was honest, and that Tyler would have been probably like, well, of course you do. I mean,
yeah, like, and? Like, this is what we know Joe does. Like, anything like that. I'm sure at Christmas time and Easter, even Valentine's Day, Joe finds some way of getting free candy from kids or adults. He works the system. He may even set up a table outside his local Kroger saying, support your local customizers. You know, want to make candy? Please, for a donation. You know, and it's just like recycled Halloween candy that he got from somebody else, and he's getting money for the candy that he didn't buy or something like
hell
that.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like I said, I'll show my haul when it comes. But let me say hello to Yanish and JSP. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. And if you guys are new to this channel and anything, just make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always be notified when we have any new content. So be sure to do that if you're new to us. And if you're someone that's always watching, you forgot to do it, ring that bell just in case. But we'll be talking about the new Halloween movie.
Yeah, I kind of don't expect. I feel like some people are gonna miss out on this live just because they do not want to be spoiled. So we're gonna address this now. Spoiler heavy.
We're not doing two videos here, people.
Do not continue from this point forward until you have seen the film and then come back and
right. That's what I figured. I figured, well, if they're tuning in, they know we're gonna talk about the movie. So yeah, I know a lot of people that probably were around earlier might not want to show up because they don't want to get spoiled just like me. But yeah, I seen it Friday. I could have seen it Thursday, but I didn't want to because I was like, no, I'm not going to experience this at night with insanity. It's like, that's what I don't like going to the theaters. It's just knowing it's just going to be super crowded and just things going just insane. I was like, I'll go with the first showing on Friday, which had a pretty good crowd. And I went to a different theater than the one that I always told you I go to that has the reclining seats and all that stuff. I went to one of the normal ones. And damn it, if they're not doing that stupid shit you guys were talking about with reserved seating. I was like, oh, God, this place is doing the reserved seating.
It's bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so I was like, I guess I'll take these seats here. So got to where I was going to sit. But then before the movie started, you can get a pretty good gauge of all the people that were coming in. I was like, there ain't no more motherfuckers coming in here. So I just moved seats, went into a different spot and got
I'm sure, Joe, it's like a montage with Benny Hume. Is it? Joe's just going all over the
Yeah, exactly. But I was looking at the spot I wanted the whole time. I was like, because you figure, why didn't you get it to begin with? But I just never know how many people are going to crowd me. I hate when people around me, because it's either I'm usually all the way in the back, in the middle, so nobody's in back of me, or I like going to the end seat so I could just get the hell out of there and don't have to worry about people, you know, walking in front, you know, I walk in front of people and I just go. But, well, first, I just wanted to say, before I seen the movie, I was seeing a lot of people who were pissed. And their pissed in a way, to me, made no sense. At least for me, here's the logic. They said, I don't want to see this movie because they said, God, why do they have to change the story up? And I said to every one of them, have you watched Halloween series before? Unlike Friday the 13th and Elm Street that pretty much stayed consistent into their storyline, they're like, Halloween's always spun off in different directions. First, okay, you got Halloween 1 and 2, then here came 3 that had nothing to do with the others. Some people completely hated it, but I've grown to love that damn movie, but it's its own standalone. So you have Halloween 3 on its own. Then you have Halloween 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. Then here came H2O. H2O wants to ignore everything that happened in 4, 5, 6. So you can watch it as Halloween, Halloween 2, and then H2O Resurrection. Then here came Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2. And then now this one, which goes original Halloween and this Halloween. So we've spun it 5 times. I mean, this is like the 5th time. It's nothing new, but it was a different take. And I enjoyed what I seen. Were there parts that I thought just felt like could use a little to it, or some characters really, to me, weren't characters I cared about? Sure. But I like this different take. It was something different. And we'll, of course, just start dissecting into it in a bit. But I liked what I seen. It wasn't, I didn't go in there and just completely hate it. Like, I just absolutely hate Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. I don't like his first Halloween, and I'm not a fan of H2O and Resurrection. But this one, I thought they did a damn good job. It felt a little more like the original. I love the atmosphere and the music, even the way it was shot. It felt familiar. You know, as you noticed, there was a lot of homages to other ones, but I liked it. And I just want to hear your guys' experience, because you guys went and seen it together or separate or what?
Yeah, no, we went and saw it together. Emily went with us. We went to the first showing yesterday because that's the only one I could make before I had to go to work. And I'll be damned if Tyler didn't have to tell someone to shut up, and I had to tell someone to shut up.
No kidding.
Tyler was nice about it. Tyler was like, hey, you know, can you knock it off? And me, to the guys to our right, I like lean up in my seat and look over. I was like, dude, shut up. And after that, they were pretty much okay. Granted, at the end of the aisle, we also had these girls who I thought were just going to gaggle on. Of course, it's like your typical, one of them's wearing flannel. She's got like low top Converses on, clearly buys her shirts at Hot Topic and nothing else. And I'm just like, man, motherfucker. Like, can we
and
just.
And they gab the entire time for the most part. I mean, I could hear them, but, and I came close to getting up and telling them, hey, you know, shut the hell up or go back to Hot Topic. One, you can't do both. You know, it's one or the other here. And I let it go because they it's like almost everyone has to wait for something to happen in the damn film for people like, oh, you know, it's like all the boringest parts of talking, getting to know the characters. It's open for free commentary. Mm-hmm. You can have all the commentary you want. You don't even have to buy the damn movie on home video because you get the commentaries for free now.
God, and like anytime it picked up and got louder. What happened to my face right there? Anytime it got louder, they felt the need. It's like, well, we can just raise our voices and talk with the movie. I'm like, just fuck, man. I'm so tired of it. Like,
was it a pretty big crowd? You guys,
it was a decent sized crowd. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was decent sized.
I wouldn't say it was like packed out, but decent amount of people there
for a 12:30 in the afternoon showing. Yeah, it was a decent turnout, but
yeah, still way too many people.
Was it mostly a younger crowd for the ones you went and
saw? It was a mixed bag. There was fully grown adults, people older than us, people a lot younger than us. It was a mixed bag of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what were you guys' thoughts of the movie anyways?
Tyler will let you go first.
Into it, but yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I liked it. I wasn't, you know, blown away. Like, I didn't walk out of like, oh my God, like I when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this again. Mm-hmm. I thought the movie was really quite well done up until the shitty ass professor plot twist, not a twist.
Oh, that dude, that Dr. Sartain guy.
Yeah, I was fine with the whole movie, like the random kills by Michael, how he gets the jumpsuit, the mask back. Jamie Lee Curtis was absolutely fantastic in the film. I loved her all the way from beginning to the end. But that professor twist, I almost felt like, I don't like this twist, but where are they going to go with this? And I felt like you can't go anywhere with it because we know Michael's not dead.
Oh, so, right.
And then when he does come back and kills the professor, like, okay, wasn't that enlightening?
Yeah.
What the hell did that do for the film?
Yeah, it's like he turns heel and then 5 seconds later he's dead. And I'm like, well, all right, what was the point of this? Like, it added nothing.
No, it didn't. And it felt strange because, like I said, in the movie, when he talks certain ways, like, you know, how he's kept, you know, wanting to hear him, you know, he just wants to hear Michael talk. And then he wonders, what's it feel like to be the victim or the other guy and maybe to kill? Oh, and then now he gets to kill. And he put on that mask and it just looked so stupid when he did it. And then it's like, then now he's the bad guy. And it's almost like he's talking like a bad guy. And you're like, okay, get rid of him. But something to me felt off. And this is why, okay, Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously, is Lori. She's always said she wants Michael. She hopes Michael breaks out. She wants him to break out because she wants to kill him. She almost seems obsessed. And when she knew about the whole transfer of Michael going, and she's sitting there, and she went, and she seen the bus, you know, to where he was going to get gone to another maximum security place. And she's sitting in the car, and she's crying. And then it's like, that's it. Nothing from that. And, of course, the bus crashes, and it's probably the doctor that's the one who caused the whole bus crash, blah, blah, Michael get free. But for me, and this is going to sound stupid, I know it's going to sound dumb, I almost felt like she was going to cause the bus crash and have Michael get freed so she could kill him. Something felt off because the whole doctor thing felt out of place. And wouldn't that be bizarre if when this comes out on Blu-ray or DVD, they have an alternate ending or an alternate part where she freed Michael. Because, okay, she wanted him out so badly. Then she's sitting there watching him in the bus and she's crying like she's probably contemplating, should I do this? Should I free him and try to kill him? Because that's her purpose. And then it went away from that.
I took it as that she was suicidal.
Did you?
I thought maybe she was contemplating killing herself. Like she's watching something she's been thinking about for so long. I didn't think for a second that they were going to have her. It just, nobody, I can't even if John Carpenter is just putting his name on this movie and doing the score, like I almost feel like, all right, look, guys, I'm not doing this movie, but to deliberately have Laurie Strode set Michael free and then have him come back to Haddonfield, like that, I just felt like there's no way in hell that would have ever been greenlit. Even with all the crazy nonsense we've seen in all the Halloween sequels.
Yeah. I just
took it as that she's sitting there with a gun in her car, you know, and I just kind of feel like she's just having a breakdown. Like maybe she could be suicidal. Maybe she's just.
I never took her at any point of being suicidal. I took it more of just that super extreme PTSD, which Tyler and I were talking about there at the end when she. Sorry to kind of skip to the end, but when she's there and she's going room to room, and when she knows that he's kind of in there, she kind of like falters a little bit. And I was telling Tyler, like, I really, that's why I loved her performance so much, because it's like, she has the mentality. She wants this to end, but also too, when it comes down to brass tacks, like it's still terrifying for her because that floods back. And
you're right. No, it's a great point because you're right. I mean, she's like prepared for this her entire life. If he's to come here, you see how she blocks off each room, make sure it's empty. Boom, shuts that down. But you're right. When it comes to it, she's still going to be scared and frightened. Like, can she live up to it? But like when she was sitting there with that gun, and I can see what Tyler means of maybe she's thinking, oh, being suicidal. But I was really thinking she's thinking, does she have the guts? Should I just run this fucking bus off the road? And then when he comes out, I'm going to blow his head off. Like maybe she was thinking that, but I don't know. I just got a weird vibe. And I went back and watched the trailers because remember you said there was more trailers that came and I avoided them.
Yeah.
And I felt there was something spoken in that trailer, a different way she delivered the line and how one of the cops talked to her. Almost sounding like she freed. I don't know. I'm gonna have to go back and watch the trailers, but something got me weird about it. But
do that a lot in trailers. They'll take a different take of a certain line of dialogue, put it in the trailer, and then it's done differently in the movie. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, because that doctor felt rushed to me. Something felt off, like you said, even at the end of then, okay, now he, you know, like he wants to kill and get that feeling like how Michael did, but all he wanted to do was get in the mindset of Michael. Something felt rush, but otherwise, I mean, the movie was just, I liked it. Some of the pacing at the beginning was slow, but I loved that they went back, because like you said, since this is a different take, now this is just going back to, there's no explanation about a curse or a curse of thorn or no evil.
Thank God.
This is just a some bitch that's out there to kill, like he did in the original Halloween, and now that he came back, I like it, going from house to house, just going from this place to that, like, I like how they had a little throwback to part two, you know, with the woman, remember, sitting there making up the sandwich. So there's that lady, and he has the hammer, goes in there, kills her, then takes the butcher knife, leaves there, goes into another random woman's house, kills her. I loved it. It's just the randomness of this lunatic, and nobody's going to stop him. He's just on this murder spree, and that was pretty cool. It was just a different take, but it went back to the original, and I liked it. But go ahead, Nathan or Tyler.
Well, not only did I enjoy the random killing, but I also like the fact too that some of it was just implied and you didn't see it, but you saw the aftermath. And I thought that a lot of the gore and the kills as a whole were really well done. Joe, I'm kind of in the camp with you and Tyler as well. Like, I like the movie, but the doctor twist was just sort of meh. And then
it kills the mood and the tone and pace of the film when you stop for something that serves no purpose to the film.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. The pacing of the film was, it seems just slightly off. It seemed kind of yo-yoing and I know that if you read too much into any slasher film, you can pick it apart, but it did seem like there were just a lot of plot devices convenient to push it forward. It's like, well, all right. I feel like it could have used some retooling, especially with the doctor thing. He either should have just been like good hearted or like something. There was no need for that. And I don't, can we, Can we talk about the comedic relief of the little black kid? it worked for like 2 seconds when he's like, I know you guys are talking about weed. All right. Haha, kind of get it. But then it just goes into that territory of like, well, Michael's here and he's like, I gotta get out of here. And it's like, why? Like, that just seemed unnecessary. I don't know.
No, I don't mean, it seemed like there was too much comedy trying to come out of the one kid. Like they were milking.
Yeah.
And they're portraying him like the cliche sassy black character in the movie, which I felt like, does everyone just assume that like white America is going to go to this movie and think this is how all black kids or all black teenagers act? Like, oh no, motherfucker! You know, just all like they all talk like Samuel L. Jackson or something like that. Like, it's so lame. Like, God, man, I just
no. It would come off.
It doesn't do any favors for the film, and it's not funny either. It just kind of comes off as just lazy and like, did Michael Bay stop by the set one day and just like, here, what about this? You know, I got the sassy black kid. I find him on the street. It's going to be great. You know, it just throws him in there.
Well, one little quick joke is fine, but you're right. It's almost like they stereotyped him. You're right. What if that's what if there are a lot of white people that aren't around people of any other race? And
I mean, that's what it makes it feel like. They just assume that if you put a black character, they have to act like that.
It seemed racist.
When they had the black marshal, or he looked like a marshal with the cowboy hat. I assumed he was like not a Texas marshal, but a U.S. Marshal probably or something like that, who showed up to a liaison on the case there. He was fine.
Why didn't we get more of that guy?
I liked his performance. I'm like, and it's just because he's black and it's not implied. It's not like, hey, look, it's the funny black guy here, people. You see, with like neon signs just pointing down.
It's just characters. You're right. It's just characters. I mean,
he just happens to be black, you know, like it's an accident, like George Carlin says.
But you're right. No, with the kid though, I felt like they were stereotyping. It almost seems racist. I was like, why?
Yeah, would you do it does. It does.
Like it's like you shouldn't have did that. He's just a kid. You didn't have to put these stereotypes and make it seem like it seems racist. The people that work that. I was like, is that what you think black people act like? It's like you must not be around a lot of black people if you think, oh, that's what a little black kid acts like. So yeah, have one joke, but then he went after one, after another, another, another. It's like okay, it's like
and he kind of kills the tone when Michael strikes.
Yeah,
and goes after the babysitter, and they focus on him being all sassy and running out of the room, and
yeah, like her dying. What's funny is then when she was getting killed, everybody's still laughing in the theater. It's like they're right; it just killed that kill moment because now everybody's laughing. It's like, well, that took you out. Right. It's like I don't want to be laughing. Right, I didn't want to laugh when somebody dies. Like, oh God, you know. Usually, you're just like, what the hell is going to happen?
And that's my problem with the movie. Like, it struggles in those other bits. Now, when we're focusing on Lori and her struggles with her PTSD from this experience and dealing with her family and how she is with her family, I thought all of that was very well done. I liked the performance of Allison, the granddaughter. I thought
she was awesome. She was very good.
And Even Judy Greer kind of did okay. I know that was one of Tyler's hesitations.
That was a red flag for me. Anytime I see her in something, I'm like, oh, shit, man.
I'm used to her in comedies, isn't she? Isn't she usually in comedies?
She's been in comedies.
A lot of bad commercials, too, like Sprint commercials and all these other. She was in both this Jurassic World shit movies and stuff like that. So I just associate her like I do with Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell. They're just skid marks on your film. It's not a pleasant sight to see something like that. You just, you know, but I give credit where credit is due, and she did do a good job. And maybe it's because they got someone that was giving her something to work with, or she's like, you know what, I'm tired of disappointing that Tyler Baker on that Beyond Retro. My God, I'm gonna go out, you know, guns blazing.
A movie where you can actually like her in or something.
And she was very good in it, and
she did.
Yeah, and I just felt I really have no complaints about them other than and the ending was kind of lackluster.
Yeah,
in general,
all right, I'll ask this to you guys because at the end of the film, it pans down to Allison holding the knife, which is obviously to me anyway an homage to like Halloween 4. But do you think if they do a sequel, is that
I don't see that. That's the way of saying, like, dude, if you're gonna do this, do it and end it. All right. Don't get. And I just felt like they're going to do some sort of implied nonsense. But I thought,
well, the thing is, too, I saw this. There was a post credit thing where they have Michael breathing to show you that he is alive.
I would have just assumed to see that just for the sake of, you know, you can't kill evil. Where that's what I expect. But I don't want to see another like Jamie incident where, you know, she's walking around at school and freaking out and some goofy ass kid. These are for you, Allison. You know, it's, oh God.
Yeah, I don't know where they would go, but I obviously you could tell that's, I think they left it open ended, you know, just in case.
Well, you have to.
This is a success.
Oh, it is. It made, I want to say
77.8 million, I think, this week.
Yeah. Okay, well, then, yes, then I think if it's a success, then obviously they'll do more because some of the others, as you know, tanked and weren't that great and nobody gave a shit about. But this one you wanted to give a shit about. But as long as, like you said, they don't milk it for another four or five of them and go in weird directions, but with Michael supposedly getting blown up or burned at the end, but you never seen it, then you figured, okay, he'll come back, but how? And hopefully they do it good, but enough to where, yeah, maybe end it after another one, because I don't know what direction they can keep spinning, especially after all this redemption. You figure, you know, Lori's been waiting her whole life that they come out, and could you imagine her whole life to do this only to not be still alive, and he's going to keep on going and going. It's like, oh,
well, that's what I felt like they should have done with this. If you're going to do it, just do it and actually have the balls to say it's done. And let someone else, if it's success, then come up with some other bullshit random thing and keep another the direction. Series going.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, because people are going to buy it. It's not going to be any good. I mean, they tried that with H2O. They tried to make it a finite ending. Oh, no, Michael swapped suits with the guy.
What a fucking cop-out that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I mean, like, that to me, that was, at least when I saw it, I thought, wow.
Yeah, okay, same here.
There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, it's done.
Like,
it's
son over. Of a bitch.
His head fell off. Yeah, it was pretty old.
Yeah.
Because, no, you're right, especially with how we said there's been so many of these, you know, Halloweens told in different directions, and you can go and watch any one you want in whatever order. But this one, I wished she would have just, like, if anything, really, literally, blew his fucking head off, or maybe that thing that trapped him. What if when he was coming up, it trapped and impaled him and just fucking killed him? You know, those bars that came in the steps? Maybe some way of, he's dead, she had a redemption, and you're right, this saga with Michael Myers and Laurie Strode is over. And then now, if there's success and interest in Halloween, you can go ahead and do what we call another direction. But nothing spinning off of this. Let her have her finality. Let her finally have her moment. She's been fucking haunted her whole life by this man that traumatized her and has ruined her marriages and had her kid taken away when she's 12, you know, when the kid was 12 years old. And she's just been insane this whole time, not insane like nuts, but insane the whole time of wondering, is this some bitch gonna come out and I want to kill him? Let her kill him and it's over, and then do something else. But now, you know, they're gonna spin off of this. It's like, it kind of cheapens what we've waited for, you know. It cheapens the moment of what she's wanted this whole time.
I'm not a fan
of that at all. I just felt like it makes the whole story arc pointless. Like, I you know, everything you saw, everything you got emotionally involved in with, like, her breakdown at dinner, which I thought was one of the best scenes in the movie. The moments when she's talking, like, when she goes to the school and talks to Allison, gives her the $3,000, like, just spend it however you want. Don't go to college. Fuck college.
Yeah, what'd you say, go to Mexico or something?
Yeah,
or?
I like those moments that she has. Like, she feels like she still has a what she tries to have a decent connection with her granddaughter. And when you have moments like that, you feel for her. You want her to succeed. You want this to end. I mean, because honestly, people, as much as we all enjoy the Halloween series, whether you like the sequels or not, which depending on whatever one's your favorite, I mean, don't you feel like there should be at least one finite ending?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
don't you think some of these movies, it would be kind of cool to think, wow, they did it this time. And the money's always there. We all know they come up with some nonsense way, but I feel like it just makes the movie meaningless if you're going to not have the guts to make it like, no, he's dead. He's gone. Like, you know, I almost feel like they did it with Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Oh, dear God.
You know, and he didn't come back as actual Freddy in New Nightmare. And then they did the whole Freddy versus Jason thing. Because really, technically, they did have the balls to kill off Freddy. Wasn't the most memorable way by any means.
Sure wasn't.
But at least they had the guts to do it. And I wish they had done that with it. And I didn't know about that ending. Like, to me, I'm like, He could be alive, but I like to think that, you know, we're seeing him trapped. He's not trying to get out. He's accepting it, you know, as he's heading to hell.
If you take out that post credit thing, I would like to just think that, you know what, it's done and it's over. But curious to see like what will happen now that it's been successful. I just, like Tyler said, it would be cool to just see that. And I wish that someone would have that vision and just be like, you know what? Yeah, we're doing this and that's it. If you guys want to wait another 10, 15 years, do your own thing, cool. But for now, like, this is done. This is over. And they need to do that with a lot of stuff. We need to stop coming back and back and back and back. It's just like, over time, you keep doing that, you're just going to almost just dilute everything. Like, just the entire legacy of the character, period. People are just going to be like, oh, God.
I feel like that's 65. Happened a lot. I mean, Chucky is on the brink of being like, oh, my God. Pinhead, I feel like, has been beaten to death. You know, Freddy, I think they all had to a certain extent. I mean, I think Jason's had probably less casualties. I feel like the majority of the Freddy series is pretty enjoyable. There's some crap in there. Sorry, Joe.
No, it's fine. There's some.
But I think as a whole, the Freddy series is more cohesive and fun to watch than most of.
Yes.
Everybody else, I feel like it's the sequels. You just kind of like, oh man, you guys are trying too hard, even with a sequel to a slasher film.
No, it's true. And the Halloween ones, though, that's what I mean. They're the ones that if you try to explain Halloween to somebody that's a casual fan and has never seen the series of horror, could you imagine doing what I did at the beginning about the five different directions of the series? Their fucking head would explode.
It's like choose your own adventure almost, like this book.
I mean, I had people at work that were talking about it, and they see me wearing shirts all the time. They're like, hey, like you're into this shit. Can you explain this to me? No, because they didn't. They were like, all right, well, this new one, is this taking place after one and two? And I was like, no, it's actually taking place directly after the first. It's 40 years removed from the first one. I'm like, oh, I thought it was after two. I was like, no, they're just retconning that all together. I'm like, yeah, but aren't they related? I'm like, nope, all that's gone. They sort of looked at me like,
Your head could explode. It really, it's so hard to describe. But yeah, that's what I mean. It's what I said earlier. I wish that this one could have just ended with that. Like, if Lori has spent 40 years preparing for this, let her have her moment, because it's what Tyler said with achievements, but it does. It takes away the impact and the whole moment of, okay, now let's do another Halloween, and it's going to take place after this same type of movie. And
on the same night, the night continues here.
It's like, are they going to want to bring Jamie Lee Curtis back again? Will she want to do it again? Will she think, my God, I build all this up to then do another one? It's like, they should have just had him die. She should have fucking killed him, and it was over. It was successful, and like I said, that was the end of that other spinoff. And then if you want to do some more Halloween movies, start something else, but have nothing to do with that. But this one, you know, they're going to do another one. If it's this successful, if it makes over $100 million, that's probably the most any Halloween movie has ever made.
No, I mean, it's already been, I think, the top grossing one in the series opening weekend wise.
So you know they're going to do more. I mean, the only positive thing.
Well, it has to. I think it has to sustain too. Like, if it was something that people were just. It's going to make a splash because it's Halloween. The name power alone will draw it in. But if it doesn't have legs.
And that's another question I also wanted to pose to you guys, because we watched it. We are fans, you know, somewhat mostly, you know, we like the series, parts of it, whatever. And we went into this and we're like, it has its problems, but we thought it was good.
Yeah.
Just good. Not great. Not bad. Just good. Now
it's good. I mean, it wasn't a disappointment like H2O, because you think of that Halloween, you think, oh, by legs and by name, people would have been like, hell yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is back. But when H2O came out, that fucker only made $55 million, and it wasn't a super success. But there's something about this one that drew not only us back fans, but an intrigued new fans.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think that this has the legs for the casual movie-going audience that they will like it more than us?
I believe they could, because they could get excited because they're given a little more pop culture reference bullshit or whatever things they can connect with. Maybe that's...
Oh, God, those trailers beforehand? Holy shit.
Son of a bitch, man.
Like, Tyler, before we...
I mean, they want to make sure we never go back to the theater again.
Before we went, we started talking about the trailers we were going to see, and Tyler mentioned, like, yeah, there's probably going to be some movie where, like, someone's possessed, and I'll be damned, that first fucking trailer is like the possession of Topher Grace or whatever.
Yeah.
face.
Some bullshit that some girl just.
Yeah, like, I know it's like Hannah Grace, but I have to work from like, the position of Topher Grace.
It's like, how many more damn exorcism movies are they going to do? And they're all the same damn movie. At least with slasher films, you almost feel like they can come up with some sort of different kind of killer or something. But it's always another girl creepy crawling all over the damn bed. Is she really alive? Is she really dead, man? Oh, my God. You know, we got to bring in the new girl. She's skeptical. She's skeptical. She's because she doesn't believe in God and stuff, man. And, oh, my God, she will be tonight, man. And just I'm sick of all this horse shit. And there were so many bad trailers.
Yeah,
some shitty ass version of Robin Hood. He's all like cool with thug life because he's being trained with Jimmy Fox, man.
Huh?
And, yeah. You didn't have the misfortune of seeing some shitty new Robin Hood movie?
No, I didn't. Wow. Yeah. I didn't
know. God.
Comes out in January. That's all you need to know.
Oh, well, that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. Anytime you see anything, it's like, coming this January. I'm like, well, the studio does not believe in this. They're dumping it in January because nobody goes to the movies in January, really.
Nope.
And it's all just a bunch of turd sandwiches. What was the other trailers that we got?
Oh, that another movie of like The Haunting of Lola Lena or something like that.
Oh,
like
yeah. Fuck that, yeah. Too. Yeah, that was shitty. And then
did that not drag on with the kids in the car? I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, are we watching the movie or the trailer here?
I said the same thing. I was like, it feels like it's the fucking movie. I was like, just get to the stupid jump scare that you know is going to be generic. Just get to that so you can get this fucking trailer off. You're right. That lasted for like minutes.
Yeah. And then the sequel to Happy Death Day, which I watched Happy Death Day and I'm like, all right, it's a cool concept. Groundhog Day meets like slasher film. Watched it and I'm like, all right, it was all right. Not
is it a comedy or something?
It kind of like horror comedy, and it for the most part, I felt like it worked well enough. It was what it was, but to see that trailer for the sequel, I'm like, this is completely unnecessary. And once again, a thing that I am assuming that it had a modest box office return, and they're like, you know what? Well, we need to do another one. But I'm like, it works one time. If you're trying to do that concept again, to me, that has no legs because it just seems kind of boring because it's taking, you're basically replaying the first movie again and trying to do other different shit. And I'm like, no, that just doesn't work for me. So,
yeah, I think the reason they did it was, I think that was like a movie that had a super small budget. And I thought it made like over $100 million. I thought
it probably did.
I was like, what the hell? I remembered. I was like, really? People want to go see this? But shit. But if anything, for Halloween, I would hope that, yes, it would not only bring back, like you said, the fans that remembered good, you know, the horror, the slasher characters of Jason, Michael, Freddy, people that, you know, like us growing up with, and maybe a new generation, maybe can bring them aboard and get them off of the train of all this dumb shit of, like you said, always the freaky character coming up to the screen like that. Like, okay, let's end that. Get some of the slasher characters back. So maybe they can bring...
Or, you know, Jason just back. Maybe come up with some new ones.
Anything, but I don't know. Some of the new ones you see, like, they just look lazy. Like, they're
trying. But all right, think about this. Even when Scream became popular, we got I Know What You Did Last Summer, Urban Legend, stuff like that. At least they were.
Well, I do like I Know What You Did Last Summer was a good knockoff of Scream. Like, I did enjoy it.
I'm just saying, like, they were capable then of, like, here's a slasher movie and here's new characters. Like, just
a new killer. It's not the same.
Bring some more of that flavor to the table.
Just the slasher genre. You're right. Yes. Bring back our characters and new characters. It would be great. But yeah, I'm over the shit of the Paranormal Activity bullshit and all them stupid crap ass movies. I'm tired of those. We ran through the fucking Saw movies. The people got sick of those. Like, okay, it worked in the first one, the second, and here comes like 8 more of these some bitches, and how can we trap somebody this time and make it look even more gross than the first one? It's like, okay, we're done with those. And now we're done with the paranormal. We're done with the fucking Grudge and shit and the girls. You'd think of the ones with the long black hairs creeping. Like, just go back to the slashers. People enjoyed them, and hell, it looks like this showed some good interest.
Or you know what? Maybe even take some of those films from the 60s and 70s that have just been sort of lost to time that have a cult following and remake those.
They'll like, fuck it up bad. But I
don't know.
At least it would be like relatively unknown to where there's not a...
Yes.
You know, like when you remake Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street, dude, you are playing with fire when you're doing something like that. If you're going to remake that movie, Tomb of the Dead or something like that, like, that is a relatively unknown film to even casual horror fans and maybe even some hardcore horror fans.
Yeah.
You have a better chance of getting away with something that's pretty much, unless you are, I mean, like, knee deep in horror movie mythology. I mean, like from the Universal days all the way up to the, you know, Inside and Out, you can get away with something like that because there's not a whole lot of expectations behind something like that. But if you're gonna anytime you mess around with the remake, dude, it's like people act so surprised. Man, you fanboys got to get a life. It's just a movie here. You know, well, then, you know what? Come up with your own damn idea. You know, if you're going to do this, then you better have the guts to expect you're going to get backlash or negative feedback or a bomb at the box office because people have got expectations when you're trying to remake something that has left a major, major mark on the film, you know, the filmmaking industry, movies in general, a part of pop culture. They act as just as like it's just flipping the switch, like a light switch, like no big deal. And but that's the way of dismissing us when they make you know what I'm saying. God,
how did Predator do? Was that considered a success?
No.
I think it did about as well as Predators did. So they'll probably show barely that.
Got the money back. Good.
Yeah, I'll just say, well, people just don't like the Predator. I guess the fans have just outgrown it here. Cheryl's only because of Shane Black and Fred Dekker's shitty script and direction.
Oh. Speaking of that, you know how we talked about there was going to be a Rambo sequel where he would fight the Predator? They're actually Stallone
doing
is
that. Yeah,
I'm like, all right, cool. I'm totally down with that.
I'm down with that, and I'm kind of curious about Rambo 5.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
They are doing. Did you say that they are making Rambo versus?
They're filming
Predator?
It right what? Now. Like the images of Stallone horseback riding, like that's the first images they released of Rambo.
Yeah, no,
so
it's a no,
Vietnam character, this war veteran who was based off of something that could be in real life that a lot of people connected. Now he's going to fight in.
No.
Yeah, Rambo 5 is going to be a separate film. And they were tossing around like this idea of Rambo taking on like this kind of alt, like a hybrid human slash beast thing. But they were saying like if they were kind of calling it Rambo. But it will be its own film.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. No, okay, Rambo 5, he's going after like a drug cartel in Mexico.
Thank
so,
you.
Like a girl gets kidnapped or something. So.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, because the whole horseback thing, that's like picking up where like Rambo left off, where he returns home to the farm.
Oh, gotcha. You know, and like what you said, you know, like you said, Predator failing, which I'm glad it failed because it just looks shitty. I haven't seen the movie. I'm so glad it bombed. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. And I love the fucking Predator. I love that character. But the thing is, it's not that they didn't want to see him. I think most fans can tell when a movie looks like shit. It's just like when Halloween, you know,
those Madea movies are just shitloads of money.
Well, like, I guess I'm getting to Rob Zombie with this Halloween, then, too. When the second one came out, what a fucking bomb. I mean, it just looked like a disaster. Nobody cared. And what did people say? See? Nobody wants to see Michael Myers in this movie. It's old. Nobody likes that. No, look what just happened. It proves people want to see it if you can fucking do it right and make it look interesting and have a good story. But, of course, you could take any iconic character and then do your spin on it and make it shit. Nobody's going to want to see it. Boy, did that sound familiar. November 16th. But
I was going to ask. I was like, is this just going to turn into another She-Ra rant?
That was unintentional. It just
uh-huh.
was.
Sure.
It was quick. It was unintentional, but it's true. You make something good, and if it has a good story, yes, people will buy into anything. But when it's a shitty story, nobody cares. It's like, there you go. So don't blame it on the character or franchise or property. Blame it on the writers and the crap they come up with. If I had a mic, I'd drop it.
I want to say hi to SSJ Mitz. I'll be seeing him here in a little bit. I want to say hi to Devilus. Thanks for popping in. He's like, did I miss Tyler going off on Joe for trick or treating yet? We didn't really bring that up on this.
Just touched on it a little bit at the beginning there.
Yeah, but
he was in full support. He said it's a good idea. He said send me some candy in the mail. So
yeah, it was not shocking at all. I'm like,
yeah, like when I told Tyler, he was basically looking like he is right now. He had his finger on his head. He's like, and.
So, like, that's something new. Is that shocking that Joe would want free stuff to go on out and begging?
And come up with, like, ways of cheating the system by being as cheap as, and just as if, like, it's like everyone that in Joe's neighborhood is just meat with eyes, you know, just with the brain of an ice cube, mindlessly handing out stuff. And Joe's just like, sons of bitches, I got them again this year.
Did I tell you what I do, Tyler? I said it earlier on the other episode we did, but I always put another mask in my, you know, my pillowcase.
Oh, I know. I heard you swap masks like you're just some, like you're the Night Fox from Ocean's 12. You know, you just
Musketeers? You're
going through like rooms full of lasers to get a free Three Musketeers and going back through the room of lasers to go right back with the new mask. I would get
so giddy, man.
Like, you're the most talented thief in the world, man. You just...
Well, the thing is, I remember one time when I did go up to a house and they gave a big Hershey bar, and 5 minutes later I came up with the same outfit. They said, "We already seen you up here. You're not getting another candy bar." And
that's son of a bitch! I need to make another mask.
But they're on to me.
That's when I said, "I'm gonna start bringing another mask, damn it!" Because man, when you get that big Hershey bar and you get another, it's like, man, that is jackpot, man. You're saving.
Never once in my life did I feel like I have to go back to get the Junior Mints or the Smarties or the Sweet Tarts from anybody.
Oh wait! Here's the other part too. Joe actually like uses a voice. Go ahead, Joe. Hit him with it. Tell him the voice that you do.
Well, I go up and I say, "Trick or treat." I just started doing
like, imagine that.
You sound like a pervert. Yeah. Like Joe's walking around in like a filthy raincoat, you know, just with his Modulot mask on, with stains on it, oh, you know, or like the dwarf killer in Don't Look Now, you know.
Can you imagine? Like here's like 5 foot something, Joe. I'm assuming he's 5 feet. He could be like 7 feet tall or like 4 foot nothing. But can you imagine like a 5 foot guy just trick or treat? Like, come on, man, you're not fooling anybody. And they're just like.
And when they don't, Joe ought to be wearing like a strap like on front and just like, "Oh yeah, what, look at this," and just flops it right out at
him. I kind of like imagine Jack Nicholson too
in The Departed or something
that maybe
like
the neighborhood is just onto it and they just they're just and like, they're treated it's Joe.
He's the
it's
neighborhood Joe. Pet.
It's yeah. Joe.
Oh shit, that's great.
They feel sorry for him. Like when they see Joe at McDonald's, you know, cheating a kid out of his kids meal or taking an enormous amount of free napkins and straws, they're just like, poor little Joe. He's our own little pet. We have to take care of Joe.
Oh dear you God! Know? You know how bad that was. There was a time I remember when I worked at the place, you know, for 10 years, where I told you I'm doing like shipping, receiving, warehouse, pre-box. I'm doing. Like,
I pictured Joe wearing the mask, but he's wearing like a white collar outfit with a pencil behind his ear. Saying, "Now we got to get these boxes out to Toledo, Ohio, right?" He's like,
Well, like I said, I mean, I was always, it was just dirty clothes because I'm the guy who's being the grunt of the place. I'm climbing up places. I'm doing five jobs, barely getting paid the price of one. But at that time, all the money I'd had basically really was going to bills. I had money almost for nothing. And we had a scrapper guy that would come by. And we had like these cabinets that, yes, are used for like phone systems, but when they're dated, there's no use for them no more. And we had to write them out of the inventory, get rid of them. They had no value. But a lot of them were made out of aluminum. And I mean some heavy, thick, durable aluminum that could get you good money. Well, we always gave them to the scrapper guy, and our business didn't care. And I'd always set the stuff aside. It's like, "Hey, I got you new shipment. Got some more." And he's like, "Oh, thanks, thanks." And he see me the one day at my desk, and I'm eating soup. But I did that for, like, literally.
Put like hot water and ketchup.
Well, here's the thing. 5-6 months straight of ramen noodles. And he's always seeing this. And the one time when he sees, he's like, "Joe, is that all you eat? Are those ramen noodles?" I was like, "Well," I said, "that's all I can really afford." I said, "But they're good." I said, "It's like about 10 cents a pack." I said, "But it's a good lunch." He said, "Man," he said, "how about I go buy you something?" And this guy is a scrapper who had a very old rundown truck. His clothes were 10 times worse than mine. He barely had money. He's like,
"How about you take from him?"
And he's like, "How about I go buy you something at McDonald's?" I was like, "No, man, don't do that." He's like, "Well, I'm going to McDonald's now." I was like, "How about I get you something?" I said, "No, man, that's all right. I appreciate it." But then he did come back 20 minutes later, and he was like, "There you go, man." And he gave me like a cheeseburger and a fry, and I was like, "God, I never felt so fucking pitiful." That I was like,
"Whatever, dude." In your mind, really. I got another one. You look at him, and he turns into like a jackass, like in a Looney Tunes cartoon, you know, or a sucker, probably flip flop between sucker and jackass.
I remember that day. I never felt too bad thinking
God, somebody such pride that you got over on this guy who had less than you did.
I'm going to take Joe's side on this one.
I've heard this story from Joe before. I feel like I have to make it entertaining because I've heard it before.
Yeah. But somebody less, like I said, that had less money than me and was really down on his luck actually bought me something. I was like, "Oh my God, I felt fucking horrible." It was a delicious lunch though, but man, did I feel horrible. I was like, "Man, he felt bad for me." It's like I felt like it was that episode of Married with Children. Remember when Al's looking into the bank hoping he'd get there? Remember the bum came up and gave him money? That's what I felt like. I was like, "My God, the poorer guy gave me something." I was like, "Jesus
Christ." Well, is that what me and Nathan have to do? We have to say that, "Well, our situation is worse than yours, Joe. Can we send you a coupon for a free cheeseburger at McDonald's on the dollar menu?" Like I can't, man. I just can't. And
oh shit.
That, you know what? I don't know who I have to talk to. I'm gonna get your address, Joe, and I'm gonna send you Halloween 6 producer's cut on Blu-ray. I don't care what I have to do. You're getting that fucking movie. You need to get rid of your.
I'll tell
your,
you what you have to do.
Your
you
bootleg.
Need to contact John Perryman.
All right,
John sent Joe.
Done.
There's the loophole, Joe. Yes.
It's happening. It's happening.
I can't say nothing now because if you do get it from them, there's nothing I can do to stop.
Yep, them, of course so. There isn't. But you're probably just, you know. Well, maybe you get lucky and the guy, like the UBS guy that delivers it, be like Ace Ventura, who comes down the street and smashing the stuff and playing soccer with it.
Yeah.
Sounds broken. Points. Most likely, yeah. Sir. I'm sure it was something nice, though.
Right.
And then Joe looks at it and just kind of tosses it off to the side. And it was just a DVD or Blu-ray. It sounds like shattered wine glasses inside the box.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well,
that's what Nathan packed it in, was like a wine glasses in the Blu-ray.
It's done. You're getting that Blu-ray. All right. Back to Halloween. The score. shut up, Tyler. The score was awesome. I went and ended. I was like, man, I really like the music. Tyler's like, no, yeah, it was good. I was like,
yes, I was not like
I liked it a lot. I liked it. I liked the
I normally do, but it was good though. I liked the score. It just did not leave the impression on me that it did with Nathan though.
Yeah, well,
it definitely was familiar though, right? It felt like the original Halloween's.
And
I think my favorite track is honestly right there when Allison leaves her friend, and the lights are going off and coming back on, and you know, Michael's standing there behind him, and then he's in front of him and hits him, and then he runs away. And then that whole sequence of when Michael sees Allison, they meet for the first time. That track that's playing there, that just stuck out to me a lot.
Good. Yeah, yeah. I like that whole scene. Like that whole scene of Allison with her dumpy friend who obviously is, you know where this is going.
Yeah.
But I liked how it didn't end well for him because it just shows you that all bets are off. Like when they killed the kid on the side of the road, I'm like, okay, this is cool.
I like that, yeah.
They're, you know, you're showing you're not going to play down to the audience. They come to see Michael Myers be a mindless killer, and that's what he was. And seeing that scene, because Allison was quite hot. I make no bones about it.
I thought her friend was really hot, too.
She was all right, but Allison was clearly the hottest, though. I liked her in her Clyde outfit. Like, God, that was – I would dress up like Bonnie for her.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, her speaking of her asshole boyfriend, I'm glad that we didn't really see much more of him.
I was glad his part was done because it was just a plot point to get her separated from him and get her off on her own. So I was glad that we didn't see him come back. He's like, come on, baby. I didn't put it in her butt all the way. You know, and then he gets killed or something like
that. And it was a nice way, too, of like taking her phone and throwing it in that like pudding or whatever and fucking her phone up to set that up. I thought that's good. It's like, all right. You're planting the seeds for this later on. That way it doesn't seem too silly. It's like, well, where's her phone? She could have used her phone. At least they thought that much through with some stuff.
Yeah.
But other
because
things
you
just
do have
little...
to address the whole technology thing because it makes things too easier. And it's not as interesting when people have to say, oh, man, no signal. My phone's dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know.
I like the other thing I did enjoy about this movie as well is, yes, it's taking place in present day, but it, like we talked about before, it still sort of had that look to it that we're in the late 70s.
It doesn't feel like it dates the film because they're not hammering over the head with you know, current slang and terminology and social media references. It's just that's it.
Yeah, that's what Joe and I talked about in the little video we did before we started this is I was watching the House on Haunted Hill remake last night, and they're talking about Beanie Babies and shit. And I'm like, this just dates it. This automatically dates it to the late 90s. And because I'm like, who's going to watch this now? And be like, what the fuck are Beanie Babies?
Yeah. And the one thing that was subtle that I got a kick out of that almost probably nobody really even cared about, but I love the beginning with how the credits were and the names looking just like the old days. Mm-hmm. But also like
that was cool.
The rebirth, how the pumpkin was now forming back. Yeah. To that pumpkin's like the rebirth of Halloween. It's like it's back now. I kind of got a kick out of even just that little intro. It worked. So, but yeah, they're just a damn good, like I said, damn good movie. There was parts that, yes, I felt like some things just, like I said, the whole damn doctor, the whole thing with Jamie Lee Curtis, like something that was in my head that kind of threw me off wondering. But otherwise, yeah, it was a good movie. It had characters that are memorable, characters that are forgettable, just like all the movies. But just some damn good kills too. Like I said,
random. Yeah, there was nobody in that movie that rivals characters that were in like part 4 and 5, though. I will give the movie that. Even the Doctor with his lame ass twist, he wasn't an obnoxious character by any means. It was like getting a big spoonful of like, you know, mashed peas shoved into your mouth, and someone's grabbing you by your head and making you chew it up. You're like, what was that for? You know.
Speaking of what that was for, can we talk about the cops talking about the peanut butter sandwich? Like, why was
that? Wasn't that enlightening?
Yeah, like, what was the purpose of that?
That was...
I told Nathan, I felt like that's like the director's like take of like, let's do a Quentin Tarantino scene. We'll talk about mindless bullshit, you know, for like 5 minutes about Vietnamese PB&J.
It almost makes you wonder if that's something they were talking about. Like, hey, it'll be funny. Let's put in the movie for a couple minutes and have them just randomly talk, because then you can't wait to see them get killed. Yeah, so I'm just, eh. It was, yeah, that part I didn't care. Yeah, this whole sandwich thing. The one thing I want to say real quick, you just brought up some about random characters. You ever wonder, in part 4, there was the one character named Lindsay. And you never seen anything else with her except towards the beginning when she's sitting there riding with Rachel at the beginning with Jamie. But I was like, was that supposed to maybe have been an homage to the original Lindsay in part 1? Because she almost would have been that age, but nothing else with her later in the movie in part 4. I was like, there was nothing more with this Lindsay character. Why did they put her in there? I don't know if you ever thought about
it. I wouldn't have thought that was Dawn is like a possible nod to the first film. But I
think just a nod, yeah.
I can't say for certain. And it's, I mean, she's just hot, and that's kind of all I look
at. Yeah, and that was
just
it.
Like a hot
it was
friend of Jamie's. That's just nothing more than that. You could probably sit there and say that for fun, to try and tie the films together. But
yeah, thinking, hey, maybe that could have been her as she was growing up. But yeah, never seen nothing further. But I just always, that always came into my head was that Lindsay. I was like, nothing else besides seeing her just taking that car ride towards the beginning. So another little random nothing off to the side. We like doing that. We also had our rants. For anybody that's new to this podcast, yeah, that's what we like to do. We'll do rants.
But we're still all talking about horror movies and Joe being cheap. So
yeah, you
know,
yeah.
It's normal material on the podcast. You know, we always have our you know, Joe Mott is kind of like the Andy Roney of Beyond Retro. You know, we have to have our segment of Joe, Joe's little say on 60 Minutes. No matter where it's at, we will have our Joe segment, how to live your life a lot better with these helpful tits. Tits.
Speaking of tits, I'm kind of surprised.
There wasn't any in the film.
Yeah, there wasn't any in the film. I figured there probably would have been something at some point, especially when Allison's friend's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to dry hump the shit out of you. I figured there probably would have been like some sort of sex scene.
Honestly, right, I kind of feel like, you know what? It wasn't necessary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't. I just thought it was honestly kind of surprising that it wasn't there, especially when you have the creative forces of Pineapple Express and your highness that are behind this picture, which.
Yeah, but
kudos to them for not entirely like fucking it up.
Right, but unlike, you know, the Friday the 13th, which, except for part 6, all of them have tits in theirs, Halloween's have never been always about showing tits in
theirs. Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah. I know what you mean. It's something like, I don't even know. Do they really even show that much in modern horror movies anymore? It seems like they're just so...
And most of them are PG-13.
Yeah.
How are they going to find a reason to show tits in another gangly exorcism movie? You know, it just kind of feels like, well, we're going to have a sex scene where she crawls up the stairs and drools all over, blah, 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 and just, and it cuts, and her face like smacks all over the place and slaps her titties around, end of scene or something like that.
I'm already writing the script.
Yeah.
It's been greenlit
and released next month.
Delvis in the chat room said, am I the only one who thinks it's funny the poster of Arnold behind, looks like it's creeping in on the video of Tyler? I don't know. I guess I didn't.
Oh, he's okay, talking about the commando poster right there.
Like, yeah, I guess so, right here.
Okay,
that's right. Or the one behind me. The whole wall next to me is all Arnold movie posters. Like, this whole wall is.
Giannis just
all said, dedicated to the Austrian oak.
Yeah, but Giannis just said, wait till Arnold grabs him. Yeah, it does. It looks like the arm should just come right out. So, I didn't even look at that until he just said it. Oh, shit. My throat is just exhausted. We could still talk more, but man, after earlier and then. Oh shit!
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll probably get towards wrapping this up here in the next like 5-10 minutes or so. Are there any more final thoughts on this new Halloween? Is there any other parts that come to your mind that you thought weren't done well?
I thought that, you know, seeing the husband get killed, like, it's almost like they didn't give a shit. You know, like, her husband and the other girl, her father, you know, got killed, but it's like
Ray.
Yeah, I was like, man, oh, but there you go. Yeah, let's get out. It's like there was no caring about, hey, your dad just died. But I don't know. I guess they were.
Well, I almost kind of felt like most of them weren't aware that he was dead.
Yeah.
But by that point, you don't have time to like stop and.
Yeah,
you know, they're all stuck in the house though. Like they don't. Allison got in like the back of the house or something. I don't know. It's.
That was the one of the parts too that I'm just like, well, there's cameras around everywhere. He didn't need to go outside. I understand why he went outside because he's like, you know, did you find my daughter or whatever? This cop car just comes pulling up. I get it, but at the same time, I would think about it, and I'm always just sort of wary of people in general. I would have just been like, I'll wait and see what the camera's showing. I thought, it was a little lackluster, and I actually did enjoy his character up to that point. I thought he was actually kind of funny. I don't know if Tyler would agree with that, but I like
I like him because dorky. He was on an episode of Seinfeld. He was on an episode of Kirby Enthusiasm, so I was already aware of him. Period. So I'm like, hey, it's it's the Wiz from Seinfeld, or the drunk limo driver said happy birthday, Becker, to Ted Danson. So
two shows I don't watch, so I guess I would never have known. But I got
No, of course you wouldn't.
of course.
You guys are lacking in taste, but he was fine, because he's there as like the voice of reason, because I guess it makes sense for him to wander outside too, because no one is thinking as neurotic as Jamie Lee is, though. Her character's constantly on edge. Everybody else is just not, they're taking it seriously, but not as precautious as she's going to. And of course, it's a horror movie. People are supposed to be naive because they're not buying the situation or aware of it. The audience is always like 110 steps ahead of the characters in these movies, and yet we talk like we're so much smarter than they are. Like, well, do you want to go to a horror movie where nobody gets killed? How'd that be for you?
I was gonna say there was one other thing that I liked, that they kept the mystique of the shape, meaning we never did see Michael, his whole face, even with the mask off, like a little glimpse of it looked like his fucked up eye that he got the hanger in, a scar in his neck, probably from where he got poked with the fucking needle knitting things and shit. But you never got to see his full face. And I also love that they went back to when he pulled that mask over, his eyes pretty much were kind of blacked out, not to where they were visible. Yeah. I told you see the eyes. I hate that shit. Let's have that darkness, the mystery, the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. Yeah, that's what you want. Yeah, darkness, everyone. But yeah, I like that they did that, went back to that. And I like that they kept it really clever of not ever showing Michael's face.
And they did that a lot, just keeping him in the shadows. And Tyler and I talked about one of the cool parts to me, you blinked, you would have missed it, is when he got his suit, you just see it kind of off to the side of he's just like pummeling the guy. And it lasts like a second and a half, and then it's already. And I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was quick because it's like you weren't supposed to watch as they're walking by. You seen in the background, you see Michael punching. Yeah, I see that. I like that. And also, then, like you said, the deaths that you don't see, but you know that must have been horrific, is what, Tyler, when he was telling me to watch the preview for the first time about the teeth, when just dropping the teeth.
That's
kind of fucking freaky. So,
and I liked how it started. You have these podcasters that do this true crime thing, and they want to study this case, and they have the evidence and the materials. It was a good way to set up, all right, well, he's going to find them, kill them, here's how he gets his mask back, because it's like, when you really sit down and try to think about it, and you take this original premise of, all right, well, that night he was captured, he's been in prison all these years, like, where do you go from there? So it was, they could have fucked it up. They could have royally fucked that up. And for the most part, they succeeded.
Yeah, and they must have paid at least a lot of money, or I always thought, you think they'd really give the evidence, that fucking mask, to just some random podcasters to go do something?
I look at it this way. It's a case from the 1970s. Here we are in 2018 or 2017, 2019, whatever you want to say this film is actually taking place in. It's probably forgotten. I thought it was an interesting thing when Allison's guy buddy says, it was only five people. And he says, by today's standards, that's kind of like mild. It's very tame. And that does make sense when you hear of mass shootings and mass murders and things like that. When you're thinking of something, of course, it's within the context of the film. It's probably forgotten to time, it's only a big deal to a couple of people.
Well, so it's even, even when they went to see Judith Meyer's grave, and she was the woman that was showing them around was just kind of like, yeah, well, what's this famous for again? So it seems like it was just sort of forgotten about. Just like the people that remember it most are Lori, her family, and a few select people in the town. But you know, I'm sure that happens everywhere, because it was weird to see like all the kids running around on Halloween again in that town. So yeah, I feel like that did just,
you know, get what I thought I seen. I even thought I seen within some of those kids running around. I swore I seen some of the masks from Halloween 3, unless that was me one.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, there was? Okay. I was wondering, have you just seen those fucking masks? Better not play that song. Kill them.
A bit like Anne Haitian. I know she did last summer. He didn't say anything, Joe. He didn't see no masks from Halloween 3 in there.
Right, yeah. Well, you know me. I'm always thinking I see stuff and have time and it ain't happening. But that was a good-ass movie. And it was. But I just wish, yeah, there could have been finality, because you know there's going to be sequels now, but I don't know what direction they're going to spin it, but it's going to be
cheap. Dude, at that point, I don't care, and I'm not interested. Like, it was a good movie. It should have been the end of it. Yeah. Anything else after that, I'm like, you're not getting my money. Like, I'm not going to be duped again, because I felt like this should have been it. Like, the major swan song. I don't care if they decide, like, you know, stop having to try to make these films as a reboot or a remake. Just do another film with Jason in it and just call it Friday the 13th and have no connection to a remake, to a reboot, to anything that's been done. Just make it an isolated incident of kids at the lake. He goes out, kills them. If you're going to do Halloween, another isolated incident with Michael Myers getting at it. You know, just, they don't have to be connected or related. If you're going to do it that way. If you're trying to find logic and trying to connect all these things, that's when you piss off everybody. Make it a standalone horror movie that has no connections to anything you've seen before.
Yeah, which they've done many times already. So, yeah, if they could do another, let's see what they can do. But, yeah, don't connect it with this one, because
I don't steal the momentum. Halloween after this. That's like, that's, you know, I'm done. It's not because of this film, but just sort of like, you know, there's nothing else to do, people.
Yeah.
There really isn't. And anything else, they'll be sending him to, you know, just space for crying out loud.
No,
like
he does. He better
not know how that went.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of
Jason X is fine.
Jason's gone to space. Pinhead's gone to space. Leprechaun's gone to space. Jason. God.
Joe, you like Jason X, right?
There's parts of it I like. There's some parts I don't care about. It's like, damn it, I want him to be back at Camp Crystal Lake. Sure, it was cool as shit. When
I just, for Jason, it's a, if you gave me alcohol, sat me down in front of it, I will have a good time.
Because that's the only way Nathan can enjoy it. It's alcohol-induced enjoyment. It's not genuine. Like, Nathan sits down, I'm in the mood to watch that scene where, hey, do you want to smoke some pot? Oh, you know, like, it's not funny. It's not funny at all.
When that girl says, this sucks on so many levels, and gets, I was like, yeah, you're really going to say that before you die. God, I hate that.
Tyler's just pissed because I bought that Jason X movie Maniac, and that'll be in the mail, because I feel like I owe it to Kane Hodder to have that.
I just always loved Kane. Don't get me wrong. I love his performance. I like when he shoved that bitch's face into all that fucking cryogenics.
That's one of the best kills in the entire series.
It was. It was an amazing kill. It was a cool part when they did the holodeck and made it look like it was back at Camp Crystal Lake. And those parts I like, but yeah, some parts I didn't really give a shit about. But hell, it's, you know me, I'm still going to fucking watch it, but it's not one of my favorites, but I still like it. I mean, there's a lot of them that aren't my favorites, but I still enjoy them all. But like I said, it works. Friday the 13th, that shit can work. Then go all the way up to 10 and Freddy vs. Jason, all that. I don't complain, but Halloween, when you're thinking you're getting this, but then you get that and you get that, it's like, my God, it just blows some people's fucking minds that don't know about the stuff.
All right.
But this is a good movie. Good movie, though.
Brass tacks. Star rating out of 5 stars. What do you guys give it? Joe, what would you give it out of 5 stars?
I'm going to give it a 4. I was almost going to say 4. God. I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
Just some things confused me, but otherwise I liked it.
All right, Tyler, what about you?
2.5. It's a good time, and I wouldn't mind. I'd be up to seeing it again or something like that, but it's, you know, it didn't leave me.
I just haven't had that feeling in a while. Like I said, when I seen H2O, Resurrection, and the 2 Rob Zombies, I was just not feeling like I did back in the days with the other Halloweens. But this one, it gave me that feeling again, and I liked having that feeling. So,
it was good to see a lot of good stuff in the Halloween movie for a change.
Yeah, it felt familiar and good.
Yeah, I will say, I would rank it up with 1 and 2 as like being the top 3, and then all the rest of
it. That was going to be my next one. Yeah, that was going to be my next one after
the I would say in terms of quality, yes, I would put up there with part 1 and 2. Is like the best of the three, or best of the series, because it was good and it beats the hell out of anything that we got in between.
Joe, where do you put it?
What's that?
Oh, what Tyler said, he gave it a 2 out of 5. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
No, I give it 2.5. I won't give it a full 3 stars because of that professor bullshit twist. All right. Just, even though it's not very long, I just like, I don't like momentum killers like that. It just.
I know what you mean. That's what made me give it a lower rating. But what about you, Nathan? What's yours out of 4 out of? I mean,
I'm going to give it 3 out of 5. I would say 2.5. Like Tyler, just because that twist was a huge momentum killer for the film, but I tack on that additional 0.5 because I really enjoyed the music.
Yeah, and it was that damn Dr. Satan, whatever the fuck his name was. That's what made
it. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah,
Joe, where do you put the film in regards to the rest of the series?
Again, this is just how I do it. I love 1 and 2, and then I love 4, 5, 6, damn it. And then I'm going to put this one after 6. So, yeah.
Oh,
so
my God.
4, 5, 6, this one.
I thought you liked this movie.
I did, but I love 4, 5, 6, damn it. I love it, I love it, I love it.
And we were talking on the way home, like, Joe likes part 5, where I was like, yeah.
It's like I'm some fucking disease. Every time part 5, he really likes it.
It's like when I put Joe in a plastic bubble off to himself. It's like, why is he in there? Oh, he likes part 5. Oh, stay away from him.
Yeah, and everyone just understands, like, yeah, I get it.
Like, yeah, that's Joe. He's special. Just let him stay over there.
He's got a nice 27x40 like movie poster original of The Revenge of Michael Myers, you know, lobby cards of it and everything. And he just kind of sits to himself. And
has the worst mask, but damn it, I love my part 5, but it has a horrible fucking mask.
Oh, God.
I would, for me, I would also put this film right after 1 and part 2. I was debating on it in regard, I may have put it over the hump and put it over 2, but I like 2 way too much.
2 is a lot of fun. I like 2 a lot. And I won't, even though Jamie's more fun and I enjoy watching her performance, I mean, it rivals the first film because it gives her more to do, but she can't do that without the first film. So I put Jamie's performance right next to Halloween 1 because it was so damn good. It was enjoyable. It really felt like it was thawed out, and she stays consistent with it. There's not a, we're going to veer off in this direction here. You know, she stays straight. She's playing it straight. She's not trying to throw in gags or jokes. I mean, I just like the consistency with her character and her relationship with her family. Like, they don't veer off into, God, we have
I still
to
would have liked to
have
seen Danielle Harris. I thought Danielle Harris should have been the daughter. She could have been Karen.
No!
She could have been her kid. Hey, she was her daughter in part 4 and 5. She could have been the daughter.
You're a disease, Joe, and you must be stopped.
Oh, God. I love Danielle Harris. My God, she's hot.
Well, yes, she's hot, but she does not need to be in another Halloween sequel because, you know, just go to a convention and meet her in person like I did.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, man.
And she looks at you funny when you ask her about Steven Seagal.
I mean, if anything, they could have had her be like,
they did that in the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Well, they could have. Well, she's old enough now. They could have had her just like be the mom, or have her be that character, that lady that like pulled her blinds down and got killed.
I'd have been fine.
Just
with
let
that,
her do that. You know,
I just
put her. Yeah,
I think
little.
Joe means like we need to bring Jamie back.
No,
she needs to come
back. Don't need.
Man.
No,
don't
need.
That's what Joe wants.
No, I mean, no, not
you know what? She did have two. She did have 2 failed marriages. Maybe she has another daughter.
See, but that's what I mean. Though what I'm saying is, I wouldn't want her. I didn't want her to come back as Jamie. I'm saying she just could have played the role of Karen.
Oh,
you know,
whatever.
Lori's daughter.
About it. You know.
Yeah. I love her. I love that girl. Good gosh, she hot. Gracious. Okay, how you want to wrap us up, Nathan? I got a
in the body bag, Joe, because that's where you're going here in a moment.
Whew, yeah, you ain't kidding.
All right, well, thanks to everyone that joined us in the chat. I know it was spoiler-heavy discussion, so, you know, not as many in here this week. And I hope that you guys went and saw the movie as well. If you didn't, I hope you at least enjoyed us talking about it.
It's worth watching.
It's worth your time.
Yeah, it is worth your time. Yeah. I would not say not go see it because it is a good film, though.
I will probably honestly pick it up on Blu-ray to have it in
there
with her.
But
because there might be some alternate stuff in there. Might be an extended cut.
Maybe the doctor lives, man.
Anyway, thanks to you guys for joining us in the chat. Those of you new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live so you can join the chat, join the discussion. Leave a comment down below on here. Let us know your thoughts on the new Halloween, where you rank it, your star rating, however you rate films. Let us know what you guys think. Like the video, share it if you'd like. Check the links down below. Check out beyondretropodcast.com. Check out the audio archive on there at Podbean. That way you can download all the episodes and listen to us. If you want to find us on iTunes, look up Pop Culture Network. That will take you to Beyond Retro, Capes and Commentaries, and Fans of Power, the dedicated He-Man and the Masters of the Universe podcast every Sunday at 9 p.m., hosted by these two wonderful gentlemen here. And check out Joe's Customs and order one of his t-shirts. Joe, you got something in your hands.
Yeah, one day maybe I'll read my story I wrote back in junior high.
Yes!
It's called The Box. I still have this damn thing. Teacher gave me a really good grade, too. I drew this horrible...
Get you the hell out of her class.
Yep, I drew... It was Halloween, believe it or not, when we wrote this, and it was completely random. We came into school that day for language arts, and she says, "I want you all to write a Halloween story." And just
what's
out
in
nowhere,
the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box? And I wrote this whole thing. It's this mystical ring that would turn somebody into Dracula. But it was a good ass story. And like I said, I wrote that spur of the moment. Everybody else in the class had terrible stories, got bad grades, but damn it, I kept mine ever since. Teacher,
you know what? You know what? Let's make that its own little separate video. Tyler and I will be in here, and Joe, you just go through the whole thing and read it to us. And
well, hell, it's quick. That's why maybe next week we could do it. This is literally 3 pages. That's all.
Okay. I thought it was going to be a little bit longer than that.
I thought it was like, nope. It was like an 80-page script that Joe turned in.
No,
just it was
no.
So big.
Because we were given.
He got an A.
We were just given that time, and she gave us 4 sheets of paper. And she said, write a story. So one piece of paper had to be for the cover art. And the other three had to be a story. You just had to write something and try to make a beginning, a middle, and an end. And
man, you're boring the shit out of him, man. Just even talking about it.
Oh no, I'm running on not much sleep.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We'll wrap it up right now then. Yeah.
Well, next week too, I want to say Pumpkinhead and Rawhead Rex. Rawhead Rex is going to be fun because I got to let Tyler borrow my copy and give that a spin. And I already know how that's going to go. But
good.
I'm looking forward to talking about both of these films. I actually watched Pumpkinhead a couple days ago, and that will be a good time. So until then, we will see you guys next Sunday. Take care, everybody.